You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready? There we go. Live from New York. It's the show that spent 3 hours, this guy, researching one topic. It's first
He's
thing
never years. Been more invested in a take.
Today, the weird reason Deion Sanders doesn't want Caleb in Chicago. Turns out, too cold. It's a good take, actually. You think?
We'll discuss. Because I luckily researched the whole show, so I'm prepared for everything.
I did ask Josh to pull up the weather in Colorado and Chicago. Meanwhile, Hollywood. Already talking three-peat in Kansas City. Oh, he's pulling the Stephon Diggs, just like looking around longingly. But he's actually on the team, which is nice. And finally, the first day of spring, so we've got a fresh edition of the warmest segment in all of sports. It's King of the Hill.
Yeah, it is.
Oh. Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wilds. Nick, any surprises on King of the Hill?
Massive surprise.
Really?
Rick has some surprises.
Massive changes.
Y'all always joke it's going to be number
Rick, our director, or Rick yes. Brunson, who Brew covered in Summer League? Rick. Better than Jason
they
Kidd.
For real. In Summer League.
Don't call him Rick Brunson this whole show.
Rick already
has dinner on that. On Dusty.
We start with the dunk of the year, Wolves Jazz. He already has the block of the year. Anthony Edwards on John Collins, 32 on the night. Wolves end up with the win.
Woo!
Mike Conley said it might have been the best dunk he's ever witnessed in real life. Yeah. Here's Ant-Man's take on it.
It gives me chills, man, because, like, I always dreamed of, like, dunking on somebody like that and, you know, watching, like, Vince Carter jump over somebody at the USA stuff or, like, you know, watching T-Mac. So I always dreamed of, like, dunking on somebody like that, and that was, like, my favorite one of all time.
I love that guy. I love it.
Right. All right, Brew, how impressive was the dunk?
It was awesome. There's no doubt about it. I agree with him that it was his best dunk ever. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give it a 9.
Oh, a 9?
I've seen better dunks.
I mean, really. Still
Vince Carter's dunks were better. Some of his dunks. I think Blake Griffin had a couple that were better.
Oh, I don't know.
Blake Griffin was I'll show you Blake's.
Blake, the one that he threw in.
Used to do that constantly.
Yeah.
He did it on Timothy Mozgov. Here's this one. Throw it in. Like now that one I don't think was better.
Correct. Okay.
I got Anthony in between this one.
That
so
one
better than
better.
This one.
That's better.
Better than this one, but not quite as good as Blake's on Kendrick Perkins. Like, I mean, that's just ferocious.
It's also better
because it's on
Kendrick.
We're simply talking what looks better. All right? And I actually think Ja, which I don't know if you like this one or not. This is when I got Ja as my guy. Ja's in the playoffs against the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, yeah.
I think that was better just because he reared back and it was like a tomahawk.
Can I ask?
But this was awesome.
For this conversation,
because
I just want us all to be having the same conversation, I think it has to be regular season, postseason agnostic.
No.
I'm going to ask Brew because
that's
you're
fine.
About to list 30 dunks that
I'm
you think are better.
I mean, I have
and,
ready.
And so, I mean, this is – Wilds it has never had this many sheets.
I will say this to you, Wilds. I think Anthony Edwards is like a combination of Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. That's high praise when he dunks.
Yeah.
He's got – now, he doesn't have all the grace of Jordan, but it's close. Mm-hmm. And he's got the power of Dominique. And every time he jumps for a dunk, it looks like – where's the trampoline?
Yes.
I mean, it literally looks – he's so explosive to the rim that it looks like he's jumping off a trampoline.
Here's how explosive and athletic he is. He has, in the last 10 days, had the block of the year and the dunk of the year, and on both of them, he hurt himself.
Right.
The block of the year, he hit his head. The dunk of the year, he dislocated his finger.
Right.
So I'm going to say something that I think people might reflexively react negatively to, but before I even say it, I'm going to ask Brew's backup on something. Okay? Brew, despite the fact that I think LeBron's the GOAT,
right,
do you agree that I, maybe more so than almost anyone in the media other than maybe yourself and a few others, give respect to every era of basketball?
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And that I respect the history of it. So this is not about...
You don't think LeBron's better than Jordan because of the era.
Just think he's better. Right. Okay. And I have massive respect for guys, ABA era, all of it. I look at dunking the way I look at track and field and swimming. It is just logical and obvious that the best, a disproportionate amount of the best are going to be right now. Basketball players as a whole, but dunking, because it's about athleticism, explosiveness, vertical leap. Now, is there the occasional Dr. J as Florence Griffith Joyner or Edwin Moses? Sure, someone that was way ahead of their time. Yes, and because of that, I watch that Anthony Edwards dunk and I say, that might be better than any in-game dunk Jordan ever had.
No, it's not.
But what's the Jordan dunk that comes to mind? Because if you
Oakley. I agree. It's
right,
not Ewing and Oakley.
Right, not
but
that
But there
one.
Were several the, dunks he did that were similar to this.
Similar?
And better.
Similar? Wilds, you've got a great list here.
This one's great.
I understand the concept. I have a different concept. Tell me if you buy it.
Okay, yeah.
Because I do not view it as gymnastics with a basketball like you do, where it's like, okay, things are advancing.
Simone Biles is just better, naturally.
Than Mary Lou Retton.
Probably. Yes.
But that's not how I view it. This is how I break down the pie chart.
This is the wildest amount of research
I've
ever seen.
No, I didn't get the pie chart because I just came up with it.
Okay, go ahead.
But I have a list of dunks. we'll be here for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
The stakes of the dunk. 15%.
Well, that's where you said let's stay in the regular season.
But I just put it at 15%.
Yeah, sure.
The saltiness of the dunk. Again, 15%.
The anger.
Yeah. So
well,
obviously,
this one, the guy he dunked on, and this is going to be legendary. This is going to be talked about for years. Got tested for a concussion.
I actually think bad news.
Right?
I actually think it was too much injury. It's
no,
better to
but
go
that's
like
good.
Blister
that's
blister
the
style.
Violence. That's the what'd you say? What's
no,
he?
Saltiness.
That's
not
the saltiness.
Sean Kemp.
And yes. He didn't have a concussion. He just had a head contusion.
Yeah, I don't know
which
if there's a true difference.
Okay,
that's great.
Storytelling, 40%.
Oh, well, that's...
That's what it is. That John Starks' dunk is not a great physical dunk, but it is because of the storytelling and the stakes. It defines John Starks' career and defines kind of Jordan's
struggle.
But this
was a better dunk. That was a better moment.
And here's the other part.
Uh-huh.
30%.
I like that.
Yeah.
Standing in the way. So John Collins, solid defensive player.
Yeah.
But in order to have like an all-time great dunk, you need to go up against
like Kevin Johnson over Elijah Wan.
Here we go. See, he knows this stuff. He's a true student of
the game. Don't you dare.
But I'm going to give you a lot of this.
Don't you dare.
Wiles, I'm going to give you a lot of this.
Okay.
Let's just boil it down to how it looked.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. Blake's over Kendrick looked slightly better.
So I
think Jaws looked better.
I don't because I also think Anthony Edwards being on the smaller size helps how amazing his dunks look.
Yeah.
Which I felt similar about Ja. I also think, I think the greatest dunk of all time,
go,
is Vince Carter over Frederick Vice.
That's correct. I have that as
right,
an undeniable
that, how does that,
icon.
How does that fill out your silly pie chart?
Well, sure.
The stakes were meaningless.
The stakes were the Olympics.
But it was a...
No, stop.
That's
the stakes were the Olympics.
Actually, we almost lost that year, didn't we? Lithuania?
No, because we lost the previous 4 years, and this was a sign of America's greatest return. So let's say the stakes were pretty high. Standing in the way is Frederick Vice, a 7-footer.
Yes.
So that matters.
Yeah.
The storytelling was like Vince becoming
jumping
an icon.
Over a 7-footer.
Okay.
And the saltiness of it was kind of like, I can't believe I just did it, and the great reaction. It was 10 of 10 on everything, on a score at 100.
Vince is the greatest dunker.
Are you going to get – so wait,
ever.
You have all of
I have
these
all
things.
These, all right, I will read dunks. I'll be honest with you.
You have video?
You. Well
– can we see the dunks?
You can see them in your mind's eye.
Okay, this
imagination is the most powerful thing you have.
You're such a
more powerful than any weapon on earth.
Okay.
Your imagination.
Go quickly. It is true.
Number one. Tell me when you when
this
you
is
hear
the best
a dunk,
dunk ever.
When we
no.
hear a dunk,
when
that
you
this
hear
is
a
better.
Dunk that this is better, then
all
I'll
right.
stop.
All right. Good. Go.
Again, it's great for the pod.
Right, go.
Rock the Baby, Dr. Jam, Michael Cooper.
No.
Kemp on Alton Lister.
No.
Vince on Trevor Price.
Kemp on Alton Lister,
no.
yes.
No, no, no. Hold on.
Kemp
stop
on Alton Lister
no.
was
That's
crazy.
An iconic
no,
dunk.
You guys are
or
misunderstanding.
List-
stop,
yeah,
stop,
list-
stop. You guys are misunderstanding. Everyone he's listing, when I say no, I'm saying this isn't better than. So,
oh,
okay. so we're, okay.
we
agree.
We agree.
Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
LeBron jumps over Jason Terry.
Well, that's.
It's great.
Okay, sure.
LeBron jumps over Damon Jones.
Sure.
Shaq dunks on Chris Dudley and then throws the ball at
no,
him.
No. This is better than
no,
that.
No, it's not.
No.
It's an all-time great
the,
dunk.
The, that was the
Paul
only
Lefko.
Thing good
Paul
about Lefko. Dudley.
Now
people
we're on
the going
podcast.
To talk the, about this
the
dunk.
The only thing good
like
about
that.
The Dudley thing
this
was him
was
throwing
fun.
The ball
Shaq's
at him.
Shaq's best dunk ever.
The, oh, it,
he
no,
backs him down,
no.
dunks
Shaq
on him, pushes him
magic
down.
Had,
oh, my God.
Shaq's dunks were the
we need the video.
The backboard came down. We do need the video. Also, America, one of the reasons.
You did all that prepping and forgot about the video?
I didn't forget about it. I'm doing a podcast-centric thing.
One of the reasons, and then we can move on,
gosh,
that we
it.
Did this segment was because Wild's also best take he didn't even get to because you are so afraid of people yelling at you. Do it.
Helps if it was a dunk.
He doesn't think
this
was
a dunk.
Dunk.
What's a dunk?
A dunk is when you are so high that you throw it down into the rim, whether your hand grabs the rim
yeah.
or not.
What's a finger
rim? I think this is more impressive than just a dunk. You gotta be up high. And you know what? Here's the proof. There is something that we have called the NBA Slam Dunk Contest.
Yeah.
If you go to the Slam Dunk Contest and do a really fancy, nice layup, are they gonna give points on it?
No, they call
are
that
they gonna
Howard
cheer?
They
call that the
Let me see.
Jordan.
I got it.
They
Dwight
call that
Howard.
The Daryl Armstrong.
Let's see the Superman.
Yeah.
He didn't come close to the rim.
No one liked
but
that.
But it was a. I loved
no
it.
No one liked
I
that.
I loved it. I was there.
You know
I was
what this
yelling.
Is?
It got me out of
That's
my seat.
That's a jump shot.
You can't. You gotta get up so high to do that.
You gotta
that is a dunk.
10 feet, 8 inches.
That if he goes and lays it up.
That's
They're
a
not giving points on that.
That's
the
no
proof,
one likes
Wilds.
That, bro.
I
no one
it.
Likes that.
The cape is flying. It got
What's
a 50
the cape got
on
to
it,
do
probably.
With it?
Well, the cape has as much to do with as throwing the basketball at
right.
somebody.
Vince on Alonzo Mourning.
What?
Kobe
that
on Dwight.
Nasty.
Jordan on Mutombo.
I got to tell you, Art, you have never had more support from our support staff than you rolling off these dunks. People are like, amen, Wilds. Get them. So,
thank you, Chris.
He's right. gonna, look, Anthony Edwards, mark my words, will have better dunks than that one in his career.
So is he going to have two of the top 25 dunks all time?
Maybe.
Not,
you seem
he,
to
he's
think...
going to have better dunks than that. At least one.
Yeah. We haven't.
In his career, he's young. He's just getting on. Started. He's a babe.
High-flying highlight is the latest moment in Ant's meteoric rise. Some have said he's the face of the league or is going
Soon
to be. Some have said Kevin Garnett and Pat Bev, they were early on this, starting to look Jordan-esque. A little comparison.
Okay.
Are you buying the MJ comparisons?
Well, look, there's two comparisons to Michael Jordan. There's one in he could one day be as good as Michael Jordan or better, and that's where LeBron gets always got compared to Jordan.
That's gonna
Not
be
because stylistically they played like yeah. that. Then there's the other one of the game is similar. And he's not as great as Anthony Edwards is, and I think he can be the go, not the go, I think he can
be the best player
the best American player, okay. maybe the face of the league, at least American players. He's not going to ever be in the GOAT conversation. As great as he will be, he's not going to be in the GOAT conversation. But stylistically, well, I reached out to the GOAT today, Michael Jordan.
What a good
Jordan said there are similarities in their games. He agreed.
Oh, wow.
So Jordan said there's similarities. There's similarities, all right? And what I like, in addition to the athleticism and the explosive dunks, all right, his desire to play is like MJ's. This is not today, but in the past, I talked to Michael Jordan about the concept of shortening the season to eight, you know, from 82 games. It, like, sickened him. He couldn't understand why in the world wouldn't players want 82 games. Anthony Edwards is like, I don't want to load manage. I want to play. And this dunk is proof of it. He dislocates his finger, goes to the locker room, gets it popped back into place, taped up, and then comes back out in place. How many players today would have been like, I mean, I'm good.
Ronnie,
I'm not, I get it. But there are guys sitting out just because they want to sit out. Okay.
Yeah. He also and took off the All-Star game, had the worst quote about the All-Star game I've ever heard.
That's true. But he also, how about his defense? He plays defense,
yes,
too.
That's
so
true.
Those are similar to Jordan, too. So I like the comparison as far as the style of play.
Before I give the answer, quick sidebar. With the fact that my television partner Chris Broussard is chatting with Michael Jordan, and my fake television rival J.J. Redick is doing a pod with LeBron James. If I don't get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the phone soon, yeah, I'm in bad shape. I am getting boxed in right now by my fellow TV compatriots. All right, so I did not speak to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So instead, I just said, let's just do a fair, because I agree with a lot of what Bruce said. Obviously, he's not going to, Anthony Edwards is not, we don't look at him and say, one day is he going to be the greatest player ever. But other than Bobby Knight, I don't know that a year into Jordan's career, 2 years in when he broke his foot, people are like, he's going to be the greatest player ever. Anthony Edwards has had three complete seasons.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we can just do stack up how he looked compared to how Jordan looked. Guys, it's not fair. I know Wilds is a win-loss guy, but it's not fair to put – can we put some actual stats on there? Okay, there – oh,
3.8%.
Well, listen, I don't know what they were going to put up there.
Really?
Did the line not exist?
How good was he at 4?
He probably had a better 3-point percentage than Larry Bird in his first. Was he a better shooter than Larry Bird?
Again, 1986.
Stop it.
Again, I'm not.
3-point.
What do you mean? I just showed you some numbers. I noticed you guys jumped to that. You didn't jump to the under 500 every year
or
one playoff game. All I'm saying is Anthony Edwards on a good pace. Now in year 4 for Jordan.
On a good pace for what?
Well, who knows?
To catch Michael Jordan?
I'm not sure. Text Mike and see what he thinks of that full screen.
He ain't going to like it.
Quickly, Brew. Uh-huh. Just the Wolves are 47-21. They have the same record as Denver. They're the best team on the road. They have the best defense. And they're 4-2 without Kat. And Anthony Edwards seems to have extended. But it feels like the narrative of this table and elsewhere is like, yeah, I could see him going out in round one.
Yeah.
Well, look, the West out, there's Denver and everybody else is going to be in the postseason. That's really what it is. So I get that. You get the wrong match. OKC could go out in the first round. I mean, really. And they're right there at the number one seed, too. But I will say this about Minnesota, assuming they're at full health. They have the size that theoretically could bother Denver and Nikola Jokic.
And they played them
really
last year in the playoffs.
Right, they play them fairly tough because you can put Kat or Rudy or Kat on them, and then the other one can come in and help from the weak side.
Sure.
Now, obviously, you're giving up some threes maybe, but, I mean, they got the size, and then you got a difference maker like Anthony Edwards. I wouldn't pick them, but could they make it interesting? Sure.
I know we have to move on just quickly. I do wonder if Anthony Edwards continues this, and if without Kat they stay, you know, as the one seeder in that vicinity, if he could knock Tatum off some MVP ballots.
Oh.
I do wonder that. You know what I mean?
We talked about that a week or two ago.
Right, that he's the – if they are the one seed and he has all these moments, his numbers are great, and right now Tatum – it's not like Tatum's playing poorly, but the last month Jaylen Brown has probably been the best player on the Celtics, and so –
It's going to be hard because Tatum. I mean, they're going to
win 65 games.
I get their best player, but that's.
I wonder if Edwards get on some ballots. Like, if they're the one seed, he's the best player.
I think
player.
He could. Oh,
yeah. Let's talk about LeBron. Lakers over Hawks last night, 136-105. LeBron goes 25-7-10. Lakers show in ninth place, three games and two teams behind Sacramento, if they want to escape the play-in. Here's LeBron since All-Star. Top five in scoring, top five in assists, seven rebounds. Shooting almost 59% and 45% from three.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He's the best shooter on the podcast, which is shocking.
Wait till the playoffs roll around.
Can he keep this up?
So that's their only hope. Is that not necessarily 45% from three, and we'll show it in a second. He's 40% for the year.
Right.
And so there is – LeBron has been fully healthy one playoff run with the Lakers. They won the title.
Mm.
Because the next year was the year Solomon Hill did his trapeze act into his ankle. The next year after that, they missed the playoffs. And last year, he was, you know, talking about, I might need my foot operated on. Yeah. At, you know, he had the, not Liz Frank, I forget what it's called, but whatever, he had the foot.
Plantar fasciitis.
Thank you, plantar fascia. Good job, Wilds. And so he has, so I think the best LeBron year ever is 2013. I think the best playoff run is 2018 with the Cavs. So the best year, that's the year they won 27 games. He almost won defensive player of the year, 27 games in a row, almost won defensive player of the year. And famously
almost.
That, yeah, so, he came in second for it. That's the highest he ever finished in it. Right. And he was, the reason a lot of people think it was the best year was his efficiencies. So I just put that 2013 year next to this year for and look at the efficiencies. So that year he shot 60% from two. This year it's 58.5%. The three-point percentages are identical. The points a tiny bit down. The assists a tiny bit up. And the minutes down. And so that, and again, because he is not nearly the defender, I'm not arguing any of that. And if people say
well,
the game.
Also the lead.
The lead.
I mean, the scoring was
right.
much lower.
So then, so that's why I want to compare him to someone in the league this year. And one number will jump out to you. Steph this year, look at that bottom number. So that's amazing. So that is, and
I know that's a number, but I'm like,
yeah, I mean, that,
I don't want to be like crazy.
I know you're not saying he's a
I
better
just
shooter.
Don't believe that.
No.
Steph, right.
Okay, no,
he's not a
Steph
shooter.
Is taking harder threes, and Steph is taking
like twice as many,
Course. I get all of that, and I think everyone
you're
knows
lying.
That. But I but that is but that is the numbers. But, and so that is yeah. the Lakers' hope, is that LeBron keeps up this post-All-Star level, which from an efficiency standpoint goes eye to eye with almost any year of his career.
What LeBron has done is efficiency is different nowadays. Everybody's shooting over 50%, really.
Well,
I mean, like you
45.
Look at teams, but bigger men.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, look at Durant. The efficiencies are ridiculous because the defense is not what it used to be. But he's playing great, and he's adjusted to the game because now he's shooting the three better than ever. I mean, can you imagine if he shot the three like this, like in his prime?
Oh, when
it'd
he was prime
crazy.
Athleticism? Correct.
Right. So he's
he'd
shooting
be
the three
be like
better.
The all-time leading scorer.
He's shooting the three better, and
be crazy.
He's driving more. Like, he's taking the shots that are more efficient in the paint. And threes. Mm-hmm. All right, now he's hitting some mid-range jumpers too. But he's driving to the paint. There's not as much resistance as there was early in his career at the paint. So he's doing well with that. The question of can he keep it up is my concern is, especially if they're in the play-in. I mean, the playoffs, sometimes you get one day rest. And LeBron, as I said last week, he's had like every five, six, seven games or so, he's had to sit a game off. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think he'll sit a game in the playoffs, but if it limits his effectiveness. You know, he's playing, but he's not what they need mm-hmm. him to be. As great as LeBron is playing, and I agree, they need that if they're going to have a chance to get to the conference finals or the NBA finals, it's still on AD. LeBron can play this well, and if AD doesn't play great, they're not going to go that far. But AD has got to step up and give LeBron the support.
Yeah, good job. Is Caleb set up to succeed in Chicago? That's next on FS1, the Fox Sports Channel, Sirius XM.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to an electric show. NFL draft around the corner. Bears currently a betting lock to draft Caleb, but Mike Florio writing, hold on a second. Quote, the top players have far more power than they realize. Using it isn't just a luxury, it's a potential necessity. For some players, that first team becomes the key factor in determining whether he succeeds or fails at the NFL level. Zach Wilson's like, yeah, I know, man. Nick, are you buying that Caleb is set up for success in Chicago?
Yeah, you guys know I have a long relationship and really like Florio. I totally disagree with kind of his gist here. Of all the teams that need a quarterback that could potentially want Caleb, this is where he's best set up to succeed. Mm. See, better New England's going to draft a quarterback. You'd rather be in the AFC, in the AFC East with those weapons or there. Washington, which is in the NFC, but in the NFC East. And Terry McLaurin's a nice player, but I like the Bears set up far more. The Bears didn't just get rid of their – they took – the Washington's best edge rusher from them to go to there. So who else are we talking about? Like the Giants?
No.
I think they're better set up than the Giants. Minnesota has Justin Jefferson and a coach I love, but because they're sitting at 11, in order to get Caleb, they would have to they'd have to mortgage all their future draft picks, which are players you're going to need. The Bears have Caleb theoretically, and then also the ninth pick, right. And then so you then add to it that who were the worst teams in football last year? The Bears play all of them. The Bears play, we can show you their schedule next season. The Bears play teams that have the first, if you say the Panthers have the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Second, third, fourth, and seventh picks of the draft.
Pretty good.
There were 10 teams other than Chicago that won seven or fewer games. The Bears play seven games against those 10 teams. And so you have that set up. You have the fact, Brew, that being a B-plus quarterback makes you the best quarterback the franchise has had since Sid Luckman. So, yeah, I mean, I do think he is
set up.
That's literal. And so right. I think not only do I think he's set up for success, I think that this is so much better than if New England or Washington or the Giants had the first pick. I think this is the best spot he could realistically be in of the teams that are going to take a quarterback.
Look, I get that organizations certainly help a player, but I'm of the belief that a player makes his own success. All right, when Joe Burrow came out, everyone was saying, don't go to the Bengals. They're cheap. They won't build around you. It's a terrible franchise, so on and so forth. I was saying, no, if you're that guy, go to the Bengals and turn them around.
They did.
That's exactly what he's done.
ACL torn because they didn't have
He's injury prone. He got hurt this year running a rollout.
Yeah.
All right, but he turned them around. C.J. Stroud. Houston has been terrible for the past since Deshaun Watson left. Yes. They've been a bad franchise. In fact, that's what made him want out. They got D'Amico Ryan, so I'll give him some credit.
Yep.
But C.J. Stroud went there, turned around. I'll go historic. Brett Favre, I remember. Y'all know I'm older than y'all, if you didn't know. All right.
I remember when Green Bay
was a joke when I was a kid. I know they were historic with Lombardi and Bart Starr. When I was growing up, they were a joke. They hadn't made the playoffs in like 10 years when Brett Favre got there, and he turns them around immediately. Same thing with Joe Montana. They hadn't made the playoffs in 8 years, and he gets there, turns around, and Peyton Manning did the same thing in Indianapolis. So if you're that guy, then you can turn a franchise around. And then you added all the other stuff. I agree, he's in the NFC. You'll want to be in the NFC instead of having all those quarterbacks in the AFC. And he does. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. I like DeAndre Swift. Like, they have got some players around him and will add more. So if he can't get it done there, then maybe he just can't get it done. It's a good situation.
I like that. Here's the other piece we didn't talk about. Shane Waldron, who came over. His new OC. Here's the best years under Shane Waldron. Got Jared Goff to the Super Bowl. That was an electric team. Mm-hmm. And then Geno's best year.
Far and away.
People were writing him off and he didn't write him back.
Yep.
That was because Shane Waldron. So now Shane Waldron's in Chicago. It seems like if you have stability there, right? We have seen coaches come, coaches leave, and then the player also doesn't respond well to the roller coaster activity.
So I do believe that circumstances matter a lot for rookie quarterbacks. I get that. And I do think that if you are kind of the median first round quarterback, how you look might be determined mostly by your circumstances.
Yeah.
But I think that if you're great, you will transcend the circumstances. Right. I also think the Bears are good circumstances. I'm going to use Mahomes as an example in this regard. I know everyone says the Chiefs were already good. And the Chiefs
had won
a couple straight divisions. The Chiefs had not played in an AFC title game in 50 years before Mahomes was the starter.
They weren't great.
No, but my point is, for 50 years, the Chiefs were a team that was consistently good and never great.
Yeah.
And now every year since then they've played in it, that's been their worst. So there is a level of, like, I don't think that there was any circumstance where Bryce was going to look good this year. I think he's on the other end of the spectrum. Uh-huh. I also don't think there was any circumstance where a guy like Mahomes was going to fail. Now, maybe it wouldn't have had that level of quick of success. But if you believe that, the logical end of that story is there are quarterbacks who could have been Hall of Fame caliber who their careers never got off the ground. And I don't
believe that. That's what I'm saying. Like if you're that good, then you're going to make it happen.
I mean, I mean, it's Tom Brady is the example. Like, if something doesn't happen, you never even hear from the guy. I don't think he gets traded and becomes the best player of all time.
So you don't? So you think that there's a scenario where Tom Brady he never gets a chance to be a starter?
Yeah.
Well, then it's hard Brady to believe that Brady he's the greatest really, player ever.
Well, Brady's really interesting.
Because I don't think no sense. He gets developed.
Brady's different from most in that, I as much as I say Belichick hasn't had really hardly any success without Tom Brady, that gave Brady the time to grow into the GOAT. You know what I mean? Playing for Belichick, the defenses were great. So, what if Drew Bledsoe doesn't get hurt?
Then I guess
then who knows
then
when
I
we
think
even
it takes
see Brady.
Longer, but I'm saying if Tom, we, now that we know who Tom Brady is, who he is as a competitor and as a worker, maybe it would have taken a very long time, and obviously he wouldn't have had the 7 rings, all that stuff. I'm not saying he ends up being the unanimous GOAT no matter what, but I do think that if Brady is the guy we all believe he is, that at some point there is a team that's like, you know what? That guy gives us the best chance to win, and he's off
and
running.
You never see that guy. It went 6 rounds, and nobody wanted him.
Right, but it's
so they already had a shot at it. I mean, like you say, like teams had a shot to see him. And
they had a shot to see him in college. They didn't have a shot to see him in their building. The first team that had him in their building decided there's something special enough about the 6th-round pick. We're going to carry 4 quarterbacks, and there's something special enough about this guy that 2 weeks into a $100 million contract for Drew Bledsoe, he's going to keep the job even though his numbers aren't great. So my point is, like, I think – right. And so I just think –
quarterback wins alert.
That's what kept him in there. But
I think
was the intangible things he showed that he would have shown anywhere that at some point would have gotten a chance and taken off running.
Brock Purdy.
It was similar.
Very similar.
He was the best quarterback.
Now he's talking
Remember
intangible.
Shanahan went to ownership and said, you know what? He's our best quarterback.
Well, it's a sunny day in September when Caleb threw 6 touchdowns against Coach Prime's Colorado Buffaloes. Well, now Dion is weighing in on Caleb's next stop in Chicago via Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let me tell you something that I have a problem with. A kid that's coming from California for the last couple of years and went to Oklahoma, that's not terribly cold. Chicago's cold. You've got to think about that stuff when you're taking a young man. Nick, something?
Listen, here's what is something. I respect cold weather quarterbacks a touch more. So, like, in the Brady versus Manning thing, when it was a debate, you know, before Brady added on those 3 Super Bowls at the end, but, like, the moment Peyton retired, when it's like, okay, the Super Bowls in that moment were 4-2, but Peyton had the better numbers, the more MVPs, had the
he changed the
and
game.
Had beaten him in the had won the last 3 playoff appearances they had played. Part of what made me lean Brady was, man, Brady did it in the elements forever, and Peyton had the dome. So I do think it's harder. I do think, think that's a real element. So, yeah, if your goal is to immediately put up the best stats possible, you'd rather play in a dome. If your goal is to be able to win as much as possible, I think you're better off playing outdoors because you're going to be conditioned to it when you have to go on the road in the playoffs, when you have to play in those situations. And so I do think it's something. I actually think it's something good for Caleb.
Something.
To be
good.
There's, No, there's no doubt playing in the cold weather is harder. All right. But, and I don't know, are there some quarterbacks that can't handle it? Maybe. But if you're that guy, you're going to be fine. And look, I don't know if Deion is questioning if Caleb can handle it. But Aaron Rodgers is from California. Played at California in college. Mm-hmm. Green Bay. Brett Favre is from Mississippi.
Yeah.
Played at Green Bay. At Patrick Mahomes from Texas. Plays in Kansas City. Yeah. And Eli Manning from Louisiana and played at Mississippi.
Brady's from
California. In New York with the Giants.
Yeah. Brady's from California.
But he played his college in Michigan if you want to, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you're that guy, go ahead and get it done in the elements.
California. I heard it's good weather in California. I have all these great quarterbacks coming from California.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, who's from California that you're talking about?
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Check in on Mac Jones. Now, you remember this regrettable video. I was no fan of this. The socks and this was just a nightmare for me. Well, last week, luckily, we had a more football-centric video, out here looking like Patrick Mahomes with no-look passes. But he's never really produced a high-end video until now. Last night, gracing my phone, oh my gosh, we have weird angles. We have the ball flying through the air. He's doing a squat there with no weights on the bar, but still, the comeback.
All is the comeback.
Now I'm changing my take on this a bit.
Okay.
The question is, do you expect the Prince to also be motivated by Mac Jones's comeback? A little iron sharpens iron.
I like that.
I'm not trying to diss the Prince.
I don't.
Just saying.
I don't. I don't. But I want to hear where you stand on this, because we're the only show in America, including like public access shows in Mac's hometown and like fake shows produced by his nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. They're still talking about Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And we're doing it because of you.
Yeah.
So the floor is yours.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a Trevor Lawrence guy as well. I don't know if we have the Prince music, but I also root for Trevor Lawrence because I think it's good for you. And I'm involved in your career, tied, regrettably. But when the Prince comes in, all that stuff. So think about Aaron Rodgers. Drafted Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Oh man, this guy's eventually gonna take my spot. But what happens? He turns off and has back-to-back MVP seasons because iron sharpens iron. Tom Brady, furious that they drafted one of the winningest quarterbacks of all time, who would become Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's so mad, what does he go out and do? Win Super Bowl. So the same thing here with Trevor Lawrence. Looks over his shoulder, next thing he sees is comeback season from the hometown kid. I expect Trevor Lawrence to play even better. Now, if Trevor Lawrence goes into one of these supernatural funks, as you like to say, where he plays poorly, plays well, and then plays poorly, I'm not expecting that from Trevor Lawrence this year, because iron sharpens iron. I expect him to just be solid. Now, if you don't, he's going to have a little bit of a roller coaster, Mac's breathing down his neck big time. But again, I don't expect this, because iron sharpens iron. Can we roll? Hubs, if we can, the Trevor Lawrence workout videos. Oh, we don't have any.
Oh, because he doesn't need to post them to social media.
Well,
for likes by you.
I saw Patrick Mahomes' workout video, him running around in Adidas.
He doesn't post those. His trainer does. He's trying to help his business.
I just haven't seen it from Trevor.
All right,
iron sharpens iron.
I was going to brew. I'm just letting you know. I was going to engage this in good faith. Mm-hmm. And then midway through that little word salad we heard, I looked at the screen.
Yeah.
And I saw what our producers put on it. Can the Prince learn from Mac?
I want to put up iron sharpens iron.
And now I understand why our intern today in the office said, wait, who's the Prince? Which, while initially offended me, they really just actually got me more riled up for this nonsense, which again, I am going to ask both of you, because you're in this same bed. Mm. When Trevor signs a $200+ million contract this offseason, are both of you going to apologize to the audience for wasting their time with this?
Odd press conference.
Are you going to
fresh off of losing 5 consecutive games and going from 8-3 to missing the playoffs somehow? We'd like to award you with a $250 million contract. Okay.
Look, I like Trevor too. I really like Trevor.
Me too.
Wild, I don't think you do. I think you were just saying that.
No, we all do.
But I like him. And if I would be motivated by this. I don't care who you are. We just heard it. Tom Brady was like, man, Jimmy G, like, he was motivated.
Those guys were first and second round picks drafted to replace
them. Was motivated
by Jordan
Love.
That was a first round pick. This is a throwaway.
But I'm saying, here's the thing. I like this video from Mac.
Okay.
Because he's not sitting there feeling sorry for himself. No. He's not hiding. He is saying, look,
I'm here.
I was in a bad situation. They gave me a defensive coordinator for an offensive coordinator.
That was 2 years
now
ago.
Now I'm in a good situation. I can sit behind Trevor and learn. And then next year, people are going to be coming for me.
Mid-year.
No, I'm a better player. Now, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, Nick, I'm serious. I'm like, This dude, the comeback?
Really putting out videos?
The comeback?
Yeah, that's why none of his teammates like him anywhere.
When is the comeback
going
to happen? Because I'm going to be the starter.
Right. You would think.
I'm going to go out there and show this guy in training camp. Ain't going to be no comeback in Jacksonville.
Why make him better? Setting this up.
I like
so it. When Trevor's awesome, he gets to say Mac inspired him.
Well, I mean,
well,
it's on
like
the board.
Well, it's like we saw Kyle Trask inspire Baker.
Jesus, man.
It happens.
Jets meeting with Mike Williams and Jadeveon Clowney today as they look to buttress a talent pool that delivered a 7-10 record and a, quote, top five defense that was actually 12th in points allowed. Brew, are you happy with the Jets' offseason moves?
I'm not happy. I'm elated.
No, you're not.
I'm elated.
You can't keep using
and that. And I'm not even a Jets fan.
Style.
But hold up. What was their main problem? The offensive line. They go out and get Tyron Smith. Now, I get it. He's got to stay healthy.
Right. Wasn't that the problem
but
last year?
But the dude, he played 13
no,
games
No, I'm talking
last
about
year.
With the Jets offensive linemen, that they were old and got injured.
Well, and they weren't that good either. This dude we know is probably a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
John Simpson and Morgan Moses.
Yeah.
Two guys that started last year on one of the best offensive lines in football, the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
So, I like that. Now, again, they're a little older, not Simpson, but the other two are a little older, but they got to stay healthy, so I'll give you that. Now you're talking to Mike Williams. Mike Williams.
What's his problem?
I get it. That's an issue. But if
kinda
these guys can
here.
Stay healthy,
uh-huh.
All right, they are, after all, football players.
Mm-hmm.
If they can stay healthy, I love Mike Williams across from Garrett Wilson.
Yeah,
oh, my
three
goodness.
Three or four games at least.
All right. No, I'm just – and I get it. No, that's fair that they are injury prone. But the Jets weren't working from a position of strength.
Yeah.
What this tells me, Nick, is this is on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Mm.
If he – they got some pieces. If these guys are healthy and you're throwing Clowney maybe, if these guys are healthy, then they just need the quarterback to really be good.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Aaron Rodgers can do.
So
because that's some players.
So listen, little context. Morgan Moses used to be on the Jets. They let him leave. He went to Baltimore. Baltimore then traded him back to the Jets for a sixth-round pick. All right? That's how they got
him. But he was a starter on their team.
He was a starter, and they decided we can do better. Tyron Smith, the Cowboys let walk in free agency, and he had to sign a contract for $6.5 million. That can be up to 20, depending on play time, because even though I believe he's a future Hall of Famer, there's the injury risk. So there's that. On the flip side, you know, they lose their starting safety Whitehead, and they lose Huff, who might have been the best player, second best player to Quinton Williams on their defense, to Philadelphia. And I know you like Huff because you liked Philadelphia's moves, one of which was getting Huff. But so the offseason player acquisition, player loss, we can say is a slight positive acquisition. Then there's the other stuff, which I am going to take.
Stuff?
Well, I'm going to get into it right now. I'm going to take
this.
Aaron Rodgers at his word.
He's not going to be the VP.
Buddy, let me explain. Aaron Rodgers, right when the season ended, Wilds, said, we have to get all that nonsense that doesn't have to do with winning out of the building. So how has that worked out? Because since then, Aaron Rodgers has, let me make sure, gotten in a beef with Jimmy Kimmel that turned into an inter-ESPN beef that, you know, involved a talk show host, a president. And it was, by the way, about Jeffrey Epstein. He considered running for vice president. Evidently, he's not going to. He then had to send out a tweet apologizing for something he did or didn't say about a national tragedy a decade ago at Sandy Hook. Oh, and also, if anyone has gotten through the paywall of the last podcast he did, he's really, really interested in the Tartarian Empire and the belief that, you know what, mountains, they're actually giant trees. So, you should Google it, Brew. It's really interesting stuff, and Aaron will tell you where you can find books on it. Point is this, Wilds. I would argue the Jets had the worst offseason of anybody. Because they're the only team who the face of their team has constantly...
Is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
Brew.
Is he not?
Brew.
Okay, he's
a great quarterback.
He's weird.
But he is the that great quarterback said. He did not say that press conference.
He meant it for everybody
you know
else.
What? You know what we need to buttress the offensive line? I'm sure he feels they did. But what he said is we need to be focused on winning, focused on football. He said, your guy Aaron Rodgers said that's what we need to do. And since then, it's been everything but the opposite. And oh yeah, by the way, they also kept arguably the worst head coach GM combo in the league.
Now, obviously, once Rodgers got hurt, it was over. But their biggest deficiency on the field was the offensive line. They've addressed it. Now, they have been trying in the past, and it didn't work. So I'll give you, these guys could get hurt.
They've addressed the offensive line every offseason.
Right.
And they can't do
but
it
But they
clearly.
Went out and tried to do it. Let's see. I might not even pick them for the playoffs. I'm just saying they had a good offseason.
I don't mean to mince words, but you said, obviously, as soon as Aaron Rodgers got hurt, the season was over.
Yeah.
We saw other quarterbacks go down, specifically the Browns cycled through several quarterbacks.
The Bengals were still in it. The Vikings were still in it.
They didn't give up on the
They're
season. That's a reflection. Jets had the top five defense. Browns had the top one defense. Well, yeah. You know, the Jets were top five.
Okay, Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson. Well,
But they chose.
They should have.
The guys.
I know
I'm
they should have.
I'm not saying they're a great. There's no way I would sit on national television and say they're a greatly run organization.
But those.
They're the opposite.
Right.
But I'm just saying these are three good signings on the offensive line.
And I'm saying the same people who made the quarterback moves that you are now saying were bad are the people that made the offensive line move.
And they also are the people that drafted Garrett Wilson and some other good draft picks. You got to admit,
you're going to have a short list after Garrett Wilson.
You like Sauce Gardner? I like Sauce Gardner.
I said a short list.
He can play.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, you don't like him. Don't. You can't say it now.
Live from New York, it's a show that reminds you I'm the bad boy of sports TV. What do you mean, oh boy?
What? He actually said, oh brother. It was even worse.
Come on, Dust.
Bad boy sports team.
Second hour, first things first. Today, he's already got the block of the year. Did Anthony Edwards also have the dunk of the year, or maybe the century? Meanwhile, Hollywood Brown already talking three-peat. Why he fits so well with Kansas City. But right now, it's time for the warmest segment in all of sports. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I love this. I'll be honest with you.
It's nice.
28 NBA players ranked in a rich tapestry of historical greatness, weekly hotness, and team success. The model of this matrix, of course, is new podcaster LeBron James, which is why this ranking is adorably named in his honor. It's time for King of the Hill.
Great musical touches.
It really gets you in a nice
All right,
mood.
So
beautiful.
This is, as Brew called our producers earlier today and tried to get them to interrogate me about the rules of the rankings. And as you
I'm
will
confused,
find out,
honestly.
It is a rich tapestry.
Of course.
But
what is, can you define
have,
rich
we
tapestry?
We have made a decision, which is you've got to be playing. So Joel Embiid, we can show you who's off the hill.
Okay.
Joel Embiid's one of them. So Embiid had a spot near the top because he is unambiguously one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
But and he will quickly regain his stature among them. But while he is out indefinitely, he is off. Same thing happened with Şengün, grand opening, grand closing. And Donovan had been hurt, was still on the hill, came back, played poorly, got hurt again. So he is currently off the hill. So the injury, Ja's not even considered for it. Just a little context because they're out. All right, now, row seven. Tyrese Haliburton seems to be playing through an injury, has really not been the same player for more than a month now. He drops. Paolo, Paul George, Sabonis stay. Tyrese Maxey, shout out to him. DeMar DeRozan, who's once again had another great week. And then Josh Hart.
Holy cow.
Josh Hart. Had a 2020-10, 2019-10, and then how did he make it? Well, the Knicks are undefeated this week. He gets double-digit rebounds every game. He does all the little things, and he is the first player, Brew, a man after your heart, on any team in any game all year to play all 48.
Love it.
He did it last night, so you know what? Yeah, that's
he's a man.
Is that exactly right? Listen, it's how Thibodeau runs things. Josh Hart, welcome to King of the Hill.
All right.
Row six. All right, Jimmy Butler. Nobody believes in the Heat magic more than me. The mystique of the Heat culture. You guys got to play better, and Jimmy's got to play better. He missed his 15 points per game, missed some games this week, so he drops. Wimby, monster game. Yeah. Every one of these other guys had monster games or moments. Wimby had the 16, 7-7. Kyrie had one of the best game winners we've seen in the NBA in years. And Zion seems like the less talk about Zion, the more comfortable he gets, the better he plays. Zion moves up. All right, row five. Jaylen Brown has been the best player on the Celtics for a month now.
True.
34 points per game this past week since last King of the Hill. De'Aaron Fox once again beat the Lakers because he seems to always. Steph, Kawhi, and AD stay where they are. Steph had a bad game and a good game this week. Kawhi had the injury scare, but he's fine. Anthony Davis, I'm not going to hold against him. He got poked in the eye. He's not seriously injured. Row 4, really tough week for Kevin Durant. 15 points per game. The lack of ticky-tack fouls being called have seemed to affect certain guys
physical
more than others.
Defense,
the physical defense.
Yes.
Harden, obviously. Durant, at least this week, seemed a little off. SGA stays where he is. Dame, with that unbelievable performance without Giannis against Phoenix, the 41 points, the pulling up from the logo, I think it was 41 and 17, something insane. And Jalen Brunson.
Let's go.
The Knicks are 3-0 this week. Bro, he is averaging 40 points per game since the last edition of King of the Hill. He gets his highest mark yet. Now to row 3. LeBron this week, 28, 10, and 10, shooting 39% from 3, which lowers his season average, shooting 58% from the field, and then there's Tatum, 28, 6, and 5. Boston's undefeated this week. Lucas stays where he is. And now, remember last week, we had two guys right here tied for the spot with the top spot vacant. What do we do at row 2 this week? Well, it's tough because Joker had his, you know, monthly bad game since the last edition of King of the Hill, and Giannis missed a game. So it didn't feel right to move either one of them up, so that top spot will remain vacant. So we can reveal that top spot if we can. Goodness gracious.
Wow.
Anthony Edwards. Hey, a man seizing the moment.
Yeah.
The block of the week. The block of the year a couple weeks ago, the dunk of the week.
I like
they
it.
Are the one seed. He's carrying them. He's the best interview in the league. He's the best dunker in the league.
Got the best.
He's the best highlight. He's as charismatic. He's, you know what? I'm going to be a little nativist, I guess. He's the best American we got going right now, at least young American. Anthony Edwards, briefly, a top king of the hill.
Are they two seed officially? I know we're
I'm sorry, a half game. They're a de facto tie for first in the West. Three-way tie, go ahead.
Ant's my guy. So I like him atop the – I just want to clarify quickly. Does this mean he's the best player in the league?
It means this week he's the – bro, I can tell you – I know you asked this, but now that we're on the air, I will explain it. What this means is this week – he's the king of the hill.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope that clears
it up. That's because it says king of the hill.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Now I know it's a weekly thing. Okay. All right.
What did you think
it was? It's a good, it's not a bad hill. I like it.
Okay.
I'm going to move Zion up I would have just moved him up where Jimmy Butler is, but you say it's not left or right.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way I can move him up is to put him up there instead of De'Aaron Fox, who I love. Love De'Aaron Fox,
you
but I got some
that
I got some info for you.
Okay.
Zion, and you admit it, he is balling.
Yeah.
This month, they're 6-1, all right, in March. He's giving you 24, 8, and 5. Look at the shooting, 62%. Zion's had 2 months in his career like this when he's 25, 5 on 60% shooting. Both times, they played great. December 2022, they were leading the West, and this month, like I said, they're 6-1.
That's when we were talking about could the Pelicans be the one seed last year, right around New Year's last
year. Here's another, and this is why I moved him up a tier, Nick. He is outside of Anthony Edwards, who's obviously at the top. The only player ahead of Zion on your hill who doesn't have a teammate on the hill is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy's missed the last two games, so I'm going to move him down a little bit, you know, because of the way you're doing it, the tapestry. So I think Zion, I mean, you don't have
fair.
A teammate on
and
everybody else got a teammate for the most part.
To be fair, I was when I was debating Josh Hart's spot, Brandon Ingram came up. Josh Hart ended up giving it. It's not as if the Pelicans, they have Wilds guy, Jose Alvarado. CJ's had a fine year. But I do think, and you talked about this month, just this week, Zion, 31 points per game, 9 rebounds per game. And that's an important factor because early in the year, he was like 4.5 rebounds a game, which for his size and his athleticism, I think sometimes people are like, defense is just want to. And it's like, well, there's more to it than that. Rebounding, if you're a good athlete and big, some of it is just want
some
to.
Of it,
and
sure.
He didn't seem to want to do it. So he's gotten way better at that. The team's winning. Yep. And so, yeah, that's a very fair critique. And Sabonis has been excellent, obviously, as
Sabonis
of late. Sabonis is, until the playoffs start, Sabonis is a great player. Go ahead, Wild.
I'm happy where Jalen Brunson is, but he's missed Weird and Wonderful a few times. And Ramsey's given me a bit of the cold shoulder in the office, so I wanted to make up.
It was Ramsey got mad at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I deserved it.
It was rough.
I've got three full screens, but I'm happy where he is on height-wise, but I just want to, like, dig into how good he is. First, the company he keeps, 27 points on 40% from three, just three guys, Jalen, Steph, and KD. So it's like, okay, those are, like, two legendary players in Jalen Brunson. But here's the issue. Against good teams, can't beat the Celtics, 1-3 against Milwaukee. All others, 26-8. So a little bit of a, all right.
So taking a shot.
But, no, but I'm just giving you the rich tapestry.
It's hard for them to make the conference finals if you can't beat either one of those teams.
But now, oh, what a roller coaster. Rich tapestry I'm weaving. Since the OG trade, was this the best trade of the year?
I am stunned.
When Jalen OG
this is, was the best trade of the year.
They're playing great, and they're 14-1 when they play together. He's back now. So the question
I didn't
I have
know
is
that
this.
Stat. It's I didn't know that he's 14-1 when they both play.
So can the Knicks be more than just a spoiler, or are they just a nice story?
So I don't think it's realistic to say the Knicks can make the NBA Finals. I do think that they could make the conference finals. I tend to think that those two teams that you put there, Boston and Milwaukee, and you guys know how I feel about Miami just historically, even though this year they haven't earned it. But here's what I will say is working in the Knicks' favor. The rule adjustments.
Great
the fact that the NBA has stopped calling the ticky-tack fouls, the fact that they're letting guys defend more. There are certain teams that's going to hurt, certain teams that's going to help. I would imagine there's no team it's going to help more than the Knicks. Also, Randle missing all this time, because he's been bad in every playoff run of his career. You hope that maybe when he comes back, he's not as worn out maybe as he's been at the end
of
these seasons, playing for Tibbs, playing big
me
minutes.
Into it right now.
So I'll say this. I'm not – right now I would not be picking the Knicks to go further than round two. But I feel better about this Knicks team than any team they have had since, honest to God, Latrell Sprewell and Allen Houston. I think they have a better chance to make the conference finals.
Yeah. You like this team now?
I like them. I agree with Nick. I think the ceiling is the conference finals. I think most likely they go out in the second round to the Bucks or the Celtics. All right. But, and this is a typical Tom Thibodeau team. Yeah. Where it reminds me of they in Chicago, they were around Derrick Rose. Jalen Brunson's now in that role. And Tibbs teams play so hard in the regular season, they don't really have another level to go to in the playoffs.
Yeah. The music
is
and the butterflies
that for me to stop?
Yeah, it's kind of
I was giving cogent analysis.
I know,
but it's hard to give cogent analysis with butterflies
flying
around.
Yeah, it really is. It is.
Hollywood Brown next.
Second round, Knicks. Enjoy it. Celebrate.
Hollywood Brown, officially a Kansas City Chief, just walking around an empty stadium, said he took less money for a chance to get some W's, be part of history. Take a listen.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom. It's your boy Hollywood Brown here. Excited to be here. Excited to get to work. Let's go for this three-peat.
Okay. Did anyone have a better offseason than the Kansas City Chiefs?
Who signed the number one player available?
Well, Chiefs did.
Chiefs. Who signed the...
Their own guy, though.
Well, that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I like homegrown talent, Brew. Okay. I don't know about you. The best corner that potentially could have been available, they kept him. Did they have a single player leave that they did not expect to leave? No. Did they address what, you know, a lot of people thought was a gaping weakness that would prevent them from winning the Super Bowl? They, of course, won the Super Bowl anyway, but, you know, as much of a two-time defending Super Bowl champion can have weaknesses, the wide receiver position might have been one of those. I would just say it was their smallest strength, not a weakness, but they, I don't know.
It was a freaking weakness.
Okay, well, I think it was just their smallest strength. But regardless, they addressed it with the most financially prudent move imaginable, and now they have the ability come the draft to do whatever they want, to trade back. If they want to get real aggressive to trade up, they can keep Snead if they'd like, or if a team is willing to pay through the nose, they can move on from L'Jarius Snead. So if there's a contender for better offseason, I'd love to know who they are. Because, yeah, obviously, they had the best offseason.
I mean, this is a weird question.
Why?
Because they're the defending, two-time defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
They had a great offense or offseason just by keeping, as you mentioned, Snead and Chris Jones.
Yeah.
All right? And then they do Hollywood Brown. I think this is what Hollywood Brown's wanted his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And with all due respect to Lamar and Kyler, they obviously aren't the passers that Mahomes is. All right? Yeah. So, yeah, I think Hollywood's going to be great, and I think it's going to open things up even more with the offense. So, yeah, it's like saying if Jokic added the hook shot next offseason.
I love the hook
who
shot.
Had the best offseason? He kept all his other gifts that he had and added another shot.
I don't know.
I'm just saying Pittsburgh went from not having a real starting quarterback to having two potentially. One of them – Russell Wilson is a legit starting quarterback, 26-8, all right? Touchdowns, interceptions. So you got that. If he falls on his face, you got another guy who potentially could be really good. Maybe he won't, but potentially Justin Fields could be their quarterback of the future. So I think Pittsburgh did a great job with that. And like I said, the Jets answered their offensive line woes. It's not about who got in the Super Bowl conversation.
No.
It's about who helped them. I'm not arguing the Chiefs. They did great, but they were great already. I think they had one weakness, which was the receiver. They added Hollywood Brown.
Go ahead, Wiles.
No, your answer is yes.
I
mean, your answer is the Chiefs.
I thought you'd mention Baltimore. Because
I love what Baltimore did. But you would have said, if I say they had a great offseason, mm-hmm. which I do think they did by adding Derrick Henry, you say, so they're going to beat the Chiefs next year.
We'll see.
Maybe I got several months. I'll get back in the lab into the Super Bowl.
I was going to say, because I understand this is a different conversation than who's the team to beat. We were debating whether or not we should ask the question are surprised the Chiefs still in Super Bowl favorites? And one of the reasons I think we didn't do it is because all of us would say those odds are ridiculous.
They are.
The idea that the Niners should be favored out of Kansas City, even if you're not going to pick Kansas City, the idea that anyone right now in March should have a better chance is, of course, ludicrous.
But the only possible explanation is nobody's ever three-peated. We don't think it'll happen.
Sure. I don't think in my brain that shouldn't. That's like being like the roulette wheel spun 22 last time. It's not going to hit it again. I'm not saying they had the best offseason because they won the Super Bowl last year and they're operating from that position. I'm saying they had the best offseason because the number one player on everyone's free agency ranking, going into the week before the tampering period was Chris Jones.
Yeah.
He's on the Chiefs. That the only team that got two guys that were in everybody's top 10 potential free agents, Jones and Snead, are the Chiefs. And so there's not just another team. Even if the Chiefs
had
lost.
But they were their guys.
It's not the degree of difficulty guys. Is not as high as going out and getting those guys. I understand that. But I do just think objectively and the fact I like that they didn't sign the 4 years, $92 million for Calvin Ridley. I like that they didn't sign 3 for $39 million for Gabe Davis. The other thing that I don't want to say nervous about, because I think Veach is the sharpest GM in the league, but maybe had a little voice in the back of my head was, man, I know how badly they want the three-peat. Are they going to go against their own principles and overpay, for short-term production? And they didn't. They signed Irv Smith. They brought back Tranquil. They signed Hollywood Brown for as good of a deal as you can find any player to. Even if Hollywood Brown is not a great player, they got him on a great contract.
I think he's going to be really good with Mahomes.
Yeah.
Falcons? You make an argument for the Falcons?
They're going to make some noise in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins has.
I think the Falcans improved more than any team in free agency. What'd you say?
You picked them to reach the Super Bowl.
How many playoff wins does Kirk Cousins have? One?
Yeah, but I think
maybe he'll get another one.
Hold on. Wild. What? You just said, what about the Falcons?
Yeah, so what about the Falcons?
Yeah, I think they improved more.
than any team this offseason.
So, so they have an argument.
So they could be in there.
Yeah, I think they had the biggest jump. I don't think it was a better offseason because there is such risk associated with that potential jump. You know what I mean? Because if he's not the same guy, then they're set back 2 years at that position.
I would say the Jags.
Okay.
Medals time right now. Hawks, Lakers, first points of the game. It's Jalen Johnson on Austin Reeves. Now, Anthony Edwards' dunk is making worldwide news. This one just made the very tail end of our show. Lakers win by 30 points.
It also made the C block. Don't be dishonest to the audience. Second time in the show. It's a good dunk. That was a really good dunk. It was not a legendary dunk like Anthony Edwards.
What, I mean,
Wild, you called Anthony Edwards one of the 30 greatest dunks of all time. Where do you have this?
I don't have this top 1,000.
Okay, exactly. So
well, now I'm going to move Anthony Edwards down.
Okay, I knew that was coming. Bronze. LeBron James, 25-7-10 in between his busy podcasting schedule, had time to do this on, I think, 10 of 14 from the field.
That's a foul.
On the offense?
Yeah.
That's a foul on the offense? Oh, and that highlight right there, Michael Jordan did that once against the Lakers. You've seen that for 30 years. Silver medal. Yeah. Jalen Brunson. 34-5-7 as Jalen, that actually lowered his per-game averages, pardon me, for the week where he's averaging 40 a game. The Knicks continue their winning streak. They should be getting healthier here in the next few weeks. Gold medal, Ant-Man, 32-7-8, including what Brew and I are calling the dunk of the year, and Wild says he would have put up a little 8 at the dunk contest if he did it. There is the podium from last night in the association. In fact, Wilds would put up a 0 because he said, quote, that's not a dunk.
It's not a traditional
poppycock
dunk.
Thank you, Brew.
Bron and J.J. Redick launched their podcast/YouTube show titled Mind the Game. Solid listen, expensive wine. Here's LeBron on his basketball mind. Take a listen.
I think I was born with a sports IQ. And it could have been any sport, but I just think basketball was the one that I chose, and maybe I was chosen to do that as well.
I listened to the whole thing, watched it actually, thought it was good. What are your expectations for the pod?
So here's what I'm excited for about it, if I may. When you hear teammates talk about LeBron, there's two things that almost all of them mention. One is the amount of work he puts in on his body, ability to stay healthy, stay available, all of it. The other thing that people talk about almost from a sense of awe is his recall, knowing other teams' plays, those types of things, and being able to hear kind of it from his perspective, I think is going to be instructive into how he sees the game 21 years in and why he's able to be able to do what he does.
No, I think it'll be a tremendous listen. Now, will it rise to the top of the charts? Even he said maybe not, but for people that really want to delve into his mindset, and Redick's intelligent, obviously, too, about basketball. So I just think it's going to be great basketball conversation. And kind of a window into the way LeBron thinks, which will be interesting.
Your rivalry with J.J. Redick, how are you feeling?
It's on hold. It's a detente. This is going to be really good.